This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Boy, so I was at the Sky Dome.
Cool.
With do you know Sky Captain?
Is he like a superhero?
No, he has like a private air force.
Kind of sounds like a superhero.
Joe Sullivan? No, he's not a superhero. He has no, he doesn't have any powers or anything.
Okay.
But he has like his own air force, and he we sort of got to know each other through Twitter. And so I invited him. I was like, I have tickets to Jay's Indians game. Do you want to go to this game? And like he comes, but we don't know each other well enough. And so we aren't like talking for most of the game really at all. Like we say hi when he first sits down and stuff, but then we do just kind of sit there. Yes. But then the Peanuts guy is coming around. So I'm like, oh, this is like a good opportunity
Charles Schulz.
So thank you so much for asking. And on like I was gonna be mad that you had just kind of jumped in like that, but but that's a great clarification. That is not what I meant. I meant the guy selling peanuts. Is that okay? And please, and jump in if there's anything else that is like weird to you about the story or whatever. And as soon as I'm done, I promise
we will bring you in here. If I hear a pop culture reference, I'm going to play with
it. And I know that's like you know so much about that stuff, and that is a big part of why you're here.
Yeah, I'm quick-witted and knowledgeable about pop culture.
But so anytime, I'm not mad about you jumping in, and please do it anytime. But if you feel like you really need to.
If I need to,
yeah. So the peanuts, salesman,
peanuts man
yelling peanuts,
mm-hmm. Penis man.
And okay, that was a joke. That's and good. I know, and that's the other big reason that you're here. So I say peanuts man, will you give me some peanuts, but do it. So go far away and throw them
maybe behind the back or something.
It's not. So he can impress Sky Captain. Let me just say, so he throws it from really far away and I do a good catch.
But
so
he could throw it behind the back.
Again, I don't want to be talking about the good throw after this. I want to do a good catch.
Maybe you catch it behind the back.
Thank you. Yes, sure.
Okay.
Great. See, that's great. That's a great idea.
Thanks.
So I say, go far, go away, go away. And I'm like flashing money at him to show like, if he like really does this, I'll like pay him money for the peanut. And so he finally gets really far away and he like rears back and throws the peanuts way too hard. And even everyone around is like, whoa, like hey, that's like really what's wrong with you? It's really hard. It hits me right in the hand.
Ooh,
so hard. And my hand is burning from hurting so much.
Sure.
And I like put it between my legs kind of to like, you know how.
Yeah,
if like, it's really hurting you, you like press it between your legs to just like, you know.
Pressure.
And I do sort of curl up and like lose my balance a little bit. And I'm standing in the aisle. So I start to kind of, I guess, roll down the stairs and kind of like skip over the, there's like a barrier at the bottom. And I hit something I can't really see, but kind of like skip over that barrier. And I fall into this net. Needless to say, I am, you know, you get arrested for that.
That sucks.
And that is how I honestly, that is how I got the idea for Rosewater, was my experience after that. And now, and understanding what people go through when they are Rosewatered. And have you seen Rosewater?
Is that pop culture?
Seen Rosewater? No, I don't know what that is.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, peanuts.
Yeah. I know what rose water is. It's like a rose thing water. Old ladies put on after
not anymore.
Bathing.
Not anymore.
What is it? I don't know. I've never heard of it.
If you ever imagine a man going to jail, and but instead of sitting down or crying, he is dancing in jail, and it's directed by Jon Stewart, and he's taking a year off the show to do it.
Oh, that rose water.
Yes. That rose water.
I didn't see it. I missed that one.
Welcome to Hollywood Handbook, Tim
Heidecker.
And now we say the full introduction. You don't know the show. Or you said you tried to listen to it, but the first ad was too long, so you maybe never got to this point.
I stopped.
Welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider guide to kicking butt and dropping names of the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
What up, what up?
So let's talk about it. It's a really big episode. Tim is here. It's really Tim Heidecker.
I'm trying to. This is the most unadjustable microphone I've ever seen.
Sorry.
This the is gold, whatever this is called, springs are not giving me any relief.
This is a Kevin thing, which is like,
I'm trying to make eye contact with you, but then I'm off mic.
Yeah. Kevin talks about.
And it's the worst setup I've ever seen.
Kevin likes to say beauty comes in, comes with restriction.
Okay.
Like he likes this idea of movement being restricted. He talks to us about a lot and like,
I just want to be comfortable so we can have a conversation, but you see what I'm doing? I'm turning my body.
And he is honestly guessing.
You are much louder than I am. I'm feeling very boomy and bassy.
Do a pull and twist. You pull it out and then twist the mic.
I think I broke it.
See, and now
it's better.
Kevin is really getting off on this, and I'm sorry, but this is like, you are honestly playing.
I mean, it's supposed to be a premiere
playing into his
podcast
trap.
I know. Whatever that means.
I know.
But it sucks.
But this is like watching people like kind of struggle like that. You know this thing where not me.
It's relatable.
That's Kevin.
That's
watch
me.
Him squirm.
You know,
it's sick
how sometimes they like put people in like those like plastic bubbles and like suck all the air out and stuff. And, and they give him like a little straw so like they don't die. Kevin has explained this to me.
Right.
That's kind of what it's about with the microphone.
Okay, well,
let's talk about it.
Now, nobody wants to hear about my discomfort here.
This is such a big episode.
Huge.
It's Tim Heidecker, and it's like,
it's my return to this network of podcasts.
When's the last time you were here?
I think it was the last one I did on this network was that what we were talking about
Comedy
earlier.
Comedy Bang Bang
with Brett Gilman and
where
John
you guys
Daly.
Got very honest, very real.
I guess we did. I
which thought Scott hates on that show.
The
by
joke
the way.
Was that we weren't getting real. I don't remember. There was a couple moments of genuine realness that was not meant to be. I don't know. We could talk about it, but whatever. My premise going in that day was that I was retiring from the show and retiring from doing podcasts.
And you never did Comedy Bang Bang again.
I never did it again.
Well, he wants people to show up on that show, honestly, with like a set of like false teeth and stuff.
It is
with
a
like
lot
a, and like a set
ask.
Of Groucho glasses. And like, how about we actually take off some of these masks and we actually do get real on a podcast even one time? And even as you're saying that, Scott is like screaming and running away at the prospect of anyone getting real.
Oh, he was squirming.
Right?
Yeah, I think, well, but it's also a very annoying episode to listen to because it's Brett and John Daly and I like just screaming like mad, like we were on several cups of coffee and just just being totally obnoxious.
That is like a,
but people seem to like it too. It's a controversial piece of audio.
Yeah, it's famous. It's one of the most famous MP3 files.
You can get it on LimeWire.
So let's. I really do want to get into sort of what is going on here. Sean is not here.
So loud, my water pouring.
This again. It's everything. I promise you, everything in here is engineered for Kevin to get off.
What's happening with your co-host?
He's having a baby. I'll say his wife is having a baby right now.
Is this a kind of like morning radio show where you can do like guys in the studio applauding?
It's great. People are like, oh, it's like, he's like, oh, I can't come because my wife is having a baby, as if like it's the first time anyone ever did that.
Tell you what, he can't come because his wife is having a baby, but he's not going to be able to come for a few more weeks because of she's sensitive.
Thank
down
you.
There.
And that is why I'm glad he's not here. Is that really how it works? It hurts.
It's a tender period of time after.
If you try to do it,
yeah. Is the baby coming out vaginally?
Yep.
So yeah, that's off limits for quite some time.
We are very close, and so I am allowed to know that. I guess I'll just like kind of start at the beginning of like this whole thing. Like, it is a big deal. You know?
Baby's huge.
It's his first? I am excited. And the baby is actually huge.
Is it the first child?
First one. Not the first. Again, not the first one anyone's ever had. It's like maybe the freaking... Is there a number?
Millions.
Is there a number bigger than a billion?
No.
So, I mean, but...
It's a billion.
It's a billion. And everyone's like... He's like, I can't come because that, like that's, you know what is the first time? Somebody hosting a podcast with Tim Heidecker all by himself.
I can't come. That's a good sample. I can't come.
For our soundboard, can you put that on the soundboard?
We can use that.
Thank you. So I guess 9 months ago now, Sean had asked me to take pictures of him at Joshua Tree.
Nice.
He had a new, he had like a character that he wanted to do out there.
Okay.
Character's name was Joshua Tree. Doesn't matter.
Had to be Joshua Tree.
Because that's the character's name.
Okay.
And so I said no, and I said that I was sick, which I regret now.
Okay.
I said I had polio. And
he bought that.
I sounded really sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you were like, oh, he's stupid. But I was doing a really good job, like
selling it.
Yes. And then he goes out, to get coffee. You know, that place, Go Get 'Em Tiger on, there's a couple of them. This is the one on
Sawtell
Hollywood. No, not even close. He goes to that coffee shop and he sees me having eggs with Robert Forster.
Nice.
Kind of what I thought too.
Yeah. Embarrassing, I guess, but.
Well, it's embarrassing.
He caught.
Yeah, he caught me, yes. Because, not embarrassing to. Like, spending time with Robert Forster is a
Bobby
friend of mine.
Forster, yeah.
Yes. And he acted like he was fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way that I could tell that he was kind of upset. And then immediately he announces, like, by the way, I think I'm going to have like a baby soon. I think I've actually been looking for like a new friend. And so I think I'm going to have a baby like right now.
Wow.
And so we're okay right now. All right. And he goes home and I think he basically invented some kind of machine to like get his wife pregnant.
He invented a machine. Okay.
Yes. And so they do whatever they do, you know, like mm-hmm. nature runs its course. And now, this baby is coming, I guess it's already here or something, or it's like halfway out or whatever. And he has been texting me a lot about how the baby is like so funny. And the baby is like really smart, but like didn't have to like study that much.
Huh. This baby's just been born?
Or is halfway out.
Yeah, well, that seems presumptuous, I suppose.
Yeah, is it doing like a funny thing with its leg or something?
Yeah, and he did send me a picture, and it was really funny.
Well, I don't know what to tell you about that. It doesn't seem likely.
But I think mm-hmm. you do, Tim, because like, so mm-hmm. this is not originally why we brought you here. I wanted to do Superhero Showdown where we rank all the superheroes.
I love superheroes.
I know so much about them. I know. And we can talk about that a little bit.
Oh, please.
Devin, can you just pull up like, how many superhero movies are there?
Total.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Total.
Like, there's 21 Marvel.
Well, yes, sort of.
Right. Exactly, because that's not counting the Blade trilogy.
No.
So when you said total, what else could that mean?
I don't know. I mean, you could go back to to the 20s and the 30s and find sort of the one real afternoon matinee Batman movies that I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
I collect those.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to put that in your category when you're doing your search.
Do that.
There's a straight-up IMDb list here. All superhero movies from 78, so
obviously... okay, well, that's one number.
Counting from Superman. Superman, the movie, obviously.
Right.
They got 79.
That's the modern era. We call that the modern era of superhero movies. Mm-hmm. But if we're going to do a total list...
Sure.
And it's probably double that, I'm guessing.
This would be so fun. I really wish...
But we don't want to get...
I wish we could. I really wish we could just do this. But I would love... So you've worked with a lot of partners.
Mm-hmm.
It's Eric and like Greg and mm-hmm. stuff. And everyone, you know, we can say people talk about like jealousy in those relationships specifically that you have had.
Yeah, I guess so.
No, I mean, I don't know how much you want to talk about it, but like now it does feel like Eric is like living his life to get your attention.
Sure. Yes, he's broadcasting it out. I think the key to successful partnerships is to find somebody that's different from you, and in a number of ways.
Can they look the same? So that
it's preferred if they don't, because what are you offering then?
Okay.
Unless you've got a twin gag going, that could be fun.
We haven't done that.
But you don't want to be your creative partners don't want to be the people that you're like best, like that you are that super close with on everything. You want there to be a diversity of ideas, a diversity of interests.
Skin
color?
Yeah.
I'll only work with white heterosexual men.
Okay.
That has been my
our experience
cornerstone.
As well. And that luckily we seem tenet. To people don't seem to be getting that mad at us about that. And so like I'm going to keep doing it until people tell me to stop basically with this one relationship. But I mean, obviously like if we need like a new kind of producer, that's okay.
Right. Just kidding. Of course, I don't have any prejudice for anybody.
But like, for example, so like Eric has like a wine company now, right?
Yeah.
When he's calling you.
And I have a wine company. It's a different kind of wine, you see?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, so that's the thing. He, like, I think people should hear, because the way you said it sounded the same, but you were like, he was crying with his hands. Yeah.
Which is pretty funny if you think about it.
Right. But you can understand hearing it, why people would just be like, why is he
saying
the
same thing?
Well,
I did it with the voice. I did
again.
The inflection.
But the visual is helpful too.
It sure is.
So that's why I just described it. When he's like calling you, right, and being like, did you see, like, I'm selling wine now, like, do yeah. you like, do you think that's cool?
He called me and said, did you see, I'm selling wine now?
Yeah.
Well, I believe that started with a discussion about doing a Stephen Brühl wine, because on the Stephen Brühl show there was a famous line of for your wine, where Dr. Yeah. Bull was drinking
sweet berry wine.
Mm-hmm. And Eric is very into wine. He said, what if we did this wine? And John and I said, sure, if you want to, you know, go for it. I don't know how you do that. But then he went off and did it, and it's been a big success.
Are you seeing anything from that?
I can't speak to that. I can't speak to that.
He won't even let you talk about it.
No, you know, it's a company that's growing. So there's there's room for growth. Okay. I don't know much.
People listening could maybe get in. Like we have a lot of like rich people listening.
Buy the wine. It's I'm happy for a success. We all have had tremendous success over the past several years from our little, very strange, unwatched little beginning. Has blossomed into tremendous success for both of us. And we continue to have a tremendous, in fact, if you looked at my calendar, you would see a lunch meeting tomorrow with the man himself.
A lunch meeting, though. Notice that we said a lunch meeting, and that's,
well, that's
I think
how
what
we
you're,
do it.
That's that what I think sucks. What you're getting at, which is not like.
That's how we do it.
Don't say that sucks.
It's not lunch anymore.
Kevin, don't say that
it's
sucks.
Not, actually,
sorry.
It's officially not lunch. It's just a meeting at the office at noon. So
you
is there
going
to be a lunch going on? There's going to be lunch.
Someone could like order out lunch.
Well, we'll say, what should we eat? Yeah, let's get some lunch in.
Right. But that's even more just like kind of a formal thing. And I'm by the way, can I say I'm really sorry that Kevin said that sucks? Why would you say that?
You are jumped to a big conclusion there. Well, but the thing is, when you're not in active production on something, when you're not in active, we're going to be working
of course.
This. Way, you got to schedule
course,
it.
Yes, because
if not,
course.
You sit around and
People
watch TV all day.
Stuff, yes.
Can you meet tomorrow? Let's go over some things. Positive
what
things.
What did you mean?
Well, it's
what did you jump to?
I jumped to that, like, maybe you guys aren't friends anymore, because it probably used to be like, let's get lunch, and now it has to be a meeting.
No, well, it's a meeting because there are things that need to be discussed.
Yeah, because they actually have, like, business to take
They're positive things.
Yes.
But yes, when we were 22 and nobody gave a shit and we had nothing going on, and there was nothing to do. We had no wives or children or wine.
Lunch at a restaurant.
Then it was just like, what do you want to do today? Oh, yes. Let's do this. 90%, 40%.
Sure.
50% of our creative from the beginning.
That's 90.
From the beginning. 90% of our creative, I'm going to go back to 40%. Maybe it's a high number when you hear what I'm about to say.
This is some scoop truth.
Has been through.
Shut up.
Text messages, instant message, through iMessages, whether it's on my computer or my phone. Mm-hmm. This is how we trade ideas. This is how we talk about what we want to do.
Do you hang on to those?
I wish I did. I mean, now it seems like it all goes to the cloud.
I am hoping that one day, like, honestly, I would love to, with like Sean or whoever, some of my G-chats are so funny. And like some of my texts, I'm doing some of the funniest shit.
I am too. And maybe we should exchange numbers and see if it works out.
Just to like compile this. And it doesn't have to be us. You know, like they're doing. Kevin, shut up.
I have a 3-year long.
You are not funny on text.
I have a 3-year long bit going back and forth between Greg and Mark Proch.
Wow.
That I lie in bed at night and tears roll down my face. Tears of laughter.
But it sucks that like no one, like it's just you three seeing that.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
But there's an element to it that probably wouldn't work outside the three of us, but it could.
And now I'm telling you to shut up because I know that that is not true. I know that like that's a book. What you're talking about is a book. It's writing. You wrote a book.
You're right. And we have thought about But
imagine when Eric hears that, how big a wine company he's going to have to start. I'm serious.
Well, we are going to, I'll give this idea away. Well, I'm giving the idea. So I have some kind of copyright ownership over this.
Yeah.
And we have tried to think about a way to do it. But what if there was a way that when you are in this, what you're saying with your friends, you get into these funny text messages.
Yeah.
That you could essentially say, I'm opening this to the public so people can just observe it.
Okay.
That's an interesting experience.
Okay. And texting publicly and sort of pretending like one else is watching, but really everyone is watching.
And then because there is also not only the content, but the rhythm of it can be sometimes funny, right?
Yeah.
Sort of the waiting for an answer. It's comic timing in text messaging. So I'm working with lots of app developers on lots of apps. That's one of them.
It could be a movie, like they should, if they did interesting movie that like takes place only on like a computer screen.
It's like a Steven Soderbergh kind of thing.
Yeah, just on your phone and stuff. That could be kind of cool. Did you do Marin?
Yes, I've done him twice. I've done his show twice.
Can we get, we edit that?
I did once. It's so funny you bring him up because I saw him the other day at the South by Southwest.
Oh, okay.
Briefly.
Yeah.
He gave me a hug. It was okay.
Yeah.
But I did it my own, and I did it with Eric.
Did you feel like that he delved did a good job and stuff on it?
Yes. I remember back when I did that, a lot of my friends were very anti doing that show.
Okay.
We felt that it was not cool to go on there and talk about your expose your inner secrets or whatever, or talk about your, there's something.
And the title is kind of bad.
Yeah. It's yeah. WTF.
Yeah. I mean, it's like,
lock the gates. What?
I think it's not a great
lock the gates? But, got asked to do it, and I was promoting the movie, and I felt I can't say no to doing this because of I wanted to help the movie out in as much many ways as I could, and so I let go of the sort of arrogance of not wanting to do his show.
What I have always interpreted "lock the gates" to mean is the people saying "lock the gates," the guy saying "lock the gates," is like the government or like society or whatever, trying to keep people from accessing information about like whether or not they have met Marc Maron before.
Well,
and so he is in effect unlocking the gates.
But I just remembered another reason I didn't want to do that show is because he used to like say shitty things about us.
Okay.
And like there was one where he talked on he was talking to Tom Sharpling.
Mm.
And he was like,
you call him Sharps.
The Sharpster.
The Sharps needle drop.
He was like, you know, what do you think of Tim and Eric? Does that make you laugh?
Wow.
And Tom's trying to be nice. He's like, I don't know. Yeah, sure, I guess. He's like, yeah, just there's no heart. There's no like heart in their work. It's because we weren't like up there on stage bearing our soul about our drug addiction and stuff. But
I'll just say Tom was not trying to be nice. I've seen him laugh at your stuff.
Of course. Who doesn't?
He has like kind of a
It's the funniest shit there is.
You know, his like portable DVD player that he carries around.
Yeah, he takes it to all the shows.
In between conversations or whatever, he's like watching stuff on his, and he'll be like, Tom, can you do this? But I've seen him watch your stuff and like really laugh.
Cackles.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care if you laugh at our show, but to bring it up, and listen, Maron's show is about comedy, so he's talking about comedy. If he's gonna bring up all, you know, it can come up, and I don't care if he doesn't like it.
Do we want to hear, I mean, have you ever gotten a chance to listen to yourself on that episode and like really talk about it? Should we do that?
That's the digging deep into the Maron interview. And
I mean,
that sounds like a really good use of time.
Right. I mean, he's like done it for everyone else. Like someone should do that for him to like really like dig deep on this stuff.
Well,
like,
go ahead. Do you have it? No.
He's not even starting.
He does not.
You
listening.
Are doing it.
I'm looking for it.
Looking for it.
It's behind a paywall, so I'd have
subscribe. You don't subscribe on YouTube. To the paywall. It's on YouTube. Every episode is on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
But anyways, I ended up having a nice talk with him. He was very nice to me, and I've seen him many times before, and he's been very nice. So whatever. Everybody's happy.
Would you say your kids are funny?
Hilarious. They're some of the funniest kids I know. And I know a lot of kids.
It's just like...
I'm doing a comedy for kids retreat.
Oh, really?
In Santa Barbara.
Nice.
At my Santa Barbara ranch that I just purchased.
Yeah.
And it's a big old darn... It's a big old ranch. It's got a stage. It's got movies. It's got screening rooms. It's got all kinds of... like we got a little arcade for the kids.
Yeah.
And it's 3 weeks this summer in August. And we go up there and I teach comedy to kids.
That's
over the world.
That's really nice. Yeah. Is it free or does it?
It is not free. It is, but we've got a payment plan. You know, I mean, it's nothing like
It's not like a charitable.
It's not a charitable thing. No.
I've heard there's like a lot of obviously land that was like burnt up there. This isn't.
Not this land. No, this is spared, thank God.
Oh, okay.
I just got it, so I haven't been up there too much, but it's definitely there. Mm. It's intact. And the parents come, they drop the kids off, and 3 weeks later they come back, and hopefully the kids know a little bit about the history of Laurel and Hardy and SNL. I would get into SNL a little bit.
I mean, it seems like you could like get like a movie out of this potentially if you are going through the trouble to like teach kids how to be funny. That like the last week or something, you could like get the camera out and just like see.
We might do that. Yeah, we're talking about doing like doing some shorts, like the remember the samurai from SNL.
Yeah,
we're gonna do that.
God, imagine, but like it's a kid or like physical kid comedy. Doing like the cheeseburger.
We're gonna do some Bill Maher monologues and just try stuff. I mean, I haven't worked out the whole sibulous. Syllabus.
But that's how
Syllabus. The syllabus.
The silly bus. Do we have the thing?
Tim's Kids Comedy College.
Oh, okay. That's great.
Sold out this year, but.
We can skip.
How
many minutes are we in? You're going to have to go like 35 minutes in.
Is he fucking with me? He's kind of fucking with me, right? What just happened there?
Everyone thinks I'm fucking with them. Everyone thinks I'm
better.
Right.
But I think if we're going to be honest, you know, knowing that you were intimidated by me, maybe you were just uncomfortable.
I was probably uncomfortable. There you go.
I'm getting him.
Did you say that you were intimidated by him?
First, it was because, first of all, I don't want to talk over myself. I'm intimidated by a certain kind of comedian that came before me, that was sort of famous before me.
Older people
who, and also hard sort of, you know, not necessarily the funniest people in the room. Like they're hard. They're like hard, serious people.
Right.
Like, you know, sort of like, New York tough
guys.
New York types.
The table at the cellar, right?
Yeah. The cellar.
You ever? But I've heard like you have like occasionally sat at the table, and that I've actually heard that you could really hang.
I'm a very funny hang.
You and like Jim Norton and stuff.
Yeah, like, I was exactly actually, Jim Norton. Like I wouldn't be comfortable around that. Not that I have any disrespect for them. It's just not my gang, and I'm, you know, you got to warm up to people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just going to be Elvis saying, hey, you're a comedy guy. Let's tell jokes to each other. Like, you know, the whole Mr. Show gang are intimidating me.
Right.
Even though I'm consider myself friends with some of them. But, you know, those guys were the people we watched. I'm sure you did, too. You watched in college or something. I don't know what you watched.
We did. Yeah. Not really a TV college. I did Second City for college.
Oh.
And so that wasn't really my that wasn't really my training is like pre-written sketch stuff we like.
I remember lazy. The first week we were out here in LA, Bob Odenkirk brought us out here.
Hmm.
Gave us an opportunity. He said, and he's always been very nice. And I was at some bar in Los Feliz, and Mary Lynn Reiskob was there, and I recognized her.
I think it's Reiskob. I think.
And I was so stupid. I went up and I said, "Hey, I'm working with Bob Odenkirk right now on something." She looked at me like, "So what? Like, who fucking cares?"
Right.
Fuck off. I'm here with my friends. I don't give a shit.
Okay.
Now she didn't say all those things. Yeah. But that was, I was like, oh yeah, I don't want these people. I just want to be with my friends. I don't want to hang out with all these people that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hang out with you or you, your producers or anybody.
But you, I know, like, and you go in and out of like joking and not joking. And that's like, and I think that's why people think that you're always like joking, right? Because you'll say like, you don't want to be here or whatever. And like, people don't know that it's like a joke. Yes.
I do want to be here right now. that should change.
Should we listen to just a little bit more of the show?
I knew you originally as just a comic that I saw on TV.
There you go.
Like,
see?
That, right?
Mm. No,
seriously, you can be honest.
On Premium Blend? Do you remember? Let's stop it. Do you remember where you saw him? Was it on Premium Blend?
No, it was on the Conan O'Brien show. And here's and I tell this on this show, but I saw him at like one of the clubs downtown in New York.
Mm-hmm. Luna Lounge?
Yeah, Luna Lounge. It was. And he says, and I don't know which came first. I saw him in Luna Lounge, and he told the story, and he started the story by going, this isn't a joke. This isn't a bit. This really happened. I'm not trying to be funny here. And then he goes and tells this joke.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told the same thing on Conan, like the two nights later.
Okay, so
and I felt it was a betrayal.
That he is maybe trying to be funny.
I felt it was a betrayal of his honesty that he has with his audience.
Well,
why do you have to mask things as not being part of your set? Just tell the story.
But then I
grew up and I learned how this business works. I learned that that's a good move to use.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fine. I don't hold a grudge on that.
I'm amazed by like, because most people don't do that. And they say like, this just happened to me like on the way here. I'm always amazed by that. Just like on the way to the theater.
What luck.
The stuff that like the thing that happened to them. And that is real when they say that.
I did a thing at South By. I did Nick Thune's show at mm-hmm. South By. And
he
something
did the show in the past.
Something happened to me that
the
day.
The best episode is fine.
He's all right. Something happened to me. I do like Nick.
Nice guy.
Something happened to me that day that I used as something to get into the show with.
Yeah, that's my favorite
thing. And it was, and you got to be open to open yourself to the universe.
What are you
going to
say? Oh, this amazing thing happened to me. Oh, but I can't do it because,
no.
Like, I have this. Excuse me.
Is that you?
No, who is that?
Oh, it must have been me.
It wasn't me.
Turn that off.
It must have been you. I don't want to touch
turn it off.
Okay.
I want to see who it is. Whoa. Wow.
Okay. I mean,
that was Steve Martin.
Yeah, I said I wouldn't look at your phone.
I know, but I just want to, I'm excited about it. It was, somebody gave me his number this morning, and they emailed me and said, Steve wants your number.
Wow.
And so I, of course, wrote back right away and said, I'd be honored. You know, I'm a huge fan. And here's my cell.
I don't want.
And I didn't hear anything. And just now, it was a text message from Steve,
him.
And it said, "Hey, it's Steve. I'd love to talk."
So I just from what I saw on your phone, really, I don't want to tell tales out of school, but that it was a text from Steve to you and Anthony Cumia. So was he the middleman? So I guess what that suggests to me is that
I don't have his
that you're friends with Anthony Cumia and Steve Martin is as well, and he's kind of like
I didn't
because get, you said you're friends with a lot of comedians, like he's like a funny guy, and you know, like maybe he was like that older generation that was like intimidating to you. If you're friends with Anthony Cumia, that's
funny. No, I have his number in my phone. I wouldn't call him a friend. I just I met him, I don't know, 10 years ago or something. And
doing
I
met
him.
Anthony.
I met him at a National Lampoon party that was hosted by Cato Kalin.
Wow. And you exchanged numbers there.
He gave me his number. Yes.
He said, "Let me get your phone." And then suddenly you
and I didn't know who he was. I didn't, and I haven't been in touch with him, so I'm not sure what that's about.
Okay. I guess it like, and now you sort of have an alibi. If you ever have creep shots in your phone, you have a story on record that at one point Anthony Cumia had your phone in his hands.
Sure, he did. This was the pre-iPhone phone. This was, you know, this is Nokia.
Oh, okay. So
that somehow transferred. I don't know how that transferred.
Yeah.
I always back up my contacts in different ways. So Google.
Okay.
But
did you ever do Opie and Anthony?
No, but you know what I did? We did Man Cow.
Okay.
Oh, that was the
and
worst
Devin's
day.
Nodding.
Yeah, Chicago.
That was the worst thing we've ever that ever happened to us. One of the worst things. And in this kind of you know, in the interview world. It was the worst thing, worst interview.
Is that like Bubba the Love Sponge?
It was like that. We were not known that well. We were promoting, I don't know what we were promoting, early season of Awesome Show or something. And it was one of those early morning calls. We were a speakerphone, sharing a speakerphone on a cell phone, which is like the worst. And we weren't very good at doing that kind of stuff anyways. So we're like just, what are you going to, you know, we were not like this real fast kind of, not good for morning radio. And the first thing he said was like, "So what's the deal with you guys? What are you, gay?" No, you know, what do you say there? And then he didn't come back to us. We just eventually hung up the phone.
you never got
like,
to say anything.
We did talk. We was like, "Yeah, well, you got a show coming on." Yes, it's crazy. It's a weird show. It's like sketch comedy. And so, and then they just started talking to themselves and never came back to us. Oh my God. Was real bad.
You were the only married news team, so maybe he saw that. Maybe they just show him a little clip.
Yes, I get the jump. I mean, that's people were writing that in the message boards all the time because we had kind of a cross-dressing.
Sean's telling me to call him.
Call him up.
I'm sorry.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
It's you. You've got it's me, Tim. We're doing the show.
Oh, Tim. Oh, my God. Thank you so much for doing it, man. I appreciate it.
We're doing it right now, so.
Oh, okay. Great. Oh, I'm glad.
And it's going really well. We listened to his episode of WTF that he did, and we were just
listened to the whole episode.
Getting into that a little bit.
You might be doing that. That's so great.
He's friends with Anthony Cumia, he was saying.
I'm not friends.
Oh, wow.
I'm not friends with him.
You know,
no.
Old friends make the best friends. You can't make old friends, right?
No, I just we exchanged numbers at a
he
party.
Said that he was the funniest National guy Lampoon. He ever met or something.
Yeah, I could see him cracking your whole shit up if you're in the right mood.
Nah. Not my scene, but like I said, I've got all these people's numbers in my phone. I don't keep in touch with mostly any of them.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Number overload. Yeah. I heard that could happen.
Well, hey, congratulations to you. Did you have a baby yet?
God. Oh, I'm hiding in the shower of the bathroom of my wife's delivery room, but she is talking to the nurses. It seems that she's fully dilated. And I think the baby will be out any second.
Great.
Can I ask you this? If the baby, how was the baby so funny and like saying all this funny stuff?
The cervix is opening for a long time, and so the head is actually right there at the cervix. And
is that true?
He's been cutting me up.
No, that doesn't sound right. When the baby's starting to like crown, they call it crown.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You're in that. You're not on the phone for your podcast. You're in the room, and you're like losing your mind.
Well, I gotta say, everyone's experience is different. I try to honor everyone's experience. I think it's important that the first thing that my son see is me doing a podcast, especially with a big guest like you, Tim. I don't know why you guys are asking about me. We got Tim. We're here at his WTF. It's like, yeah. I'm having a baby. It's funniest baby I've ever met. Cracking me up, way funnier than Hayes. Probably a better comic.
Okay, oh, great. So we can hear him. Can we talk to him, please?
I'll put him on for a minute, yeah.
What's funny about him? What's the funniest? What's a funny thing he does?
I can't wait to hear this. Can just put him on.
Hey, Jack. What's going on?
Who's this? A baby?
Yeah, it's me, a baby. Oh, no, I'm not on with Hayes, am I? That cat gives me the skeevy-jeevies.
It's not funny. It's not. No. It's just like a hep cat. It's not like he's not doing jokes.
It would be remarkable if it was a baby talking that way. Not necessarily funny, but remarkable.
Yeah, yes, sure. It's interesting that the baby is like a jive cat.
The baby's speaking at all. It's not even a minute old.
It's great. Would you say funny?
No.
The funniest baby you've ever. Tim also said that his kids are really funny. And Tim, you're a great expert. You got a camp. You have a camp.
I got the kids camp.
Is this kid getting into your camp?
Anybody can get in if they're over the age of 5 and under the age of 10.
Okay.
And have the $450 entrance fee.
Don't forget to bring your bug spray, baby.
That's pretty funny, I guess. Funny enough.
What's your name?
Come on, man. I don't want to get caught up in labels. We got to put a label on this thing. How's this guy in a relationship? Pushy.
So you're like Dice? No. What are you, like Dice?
No wonder his wife's always off writing the movies.
Baby Dice.
Hey, Baby Dice. I don't mind it. Hope it sticks.
Can we not have Dice in movies all the time now?
And he's like a legitimate dramatic actor.
That scumbag Woody Allen put him in a movie, and now everyone's like, well, yeah, now we got Dice in all the movies. He was in Stars Born, right?
Hey, come on,
fucking
Jack.
Dice.
We're gonna start from the artist here. Come on. Woody Allen's writing very good, juicy roles for women. You can't say that about all writers and directors. Come on, Jack. Give me a break, man.
So again, like, it's interesting stuff.
I mean, I don't want to talk to a baby, you know? I don't care how funny it is.
They're just like,
hey, sorry about that. He was getting a little spicy. The take was a little spicy for me. You know, I don't want him to be born canceled. mm-hmm. I'm already dealing with the likelihood that I did pass down. Obviously, my disorder, Hayes, you know about it, is that I do have resting six face. I can contort my face to appear that I'm possibly like a 7 on the attractiveness scale, but at rest I am a hard 6 best. And obviously that's something me and my wife have been talking about. Do we, you know, if that happens, does he get the surgery?
Can you see on the ultrasound that he is a 6?
You know what? Those things, as far as the technology has gotten, you're never going to be certain until he comes out. And I'm hoping that maybe he has like really bright eyes or something.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that, I think, would carry him over the top, sort of like Bill Simmons. But anyway, I just want to say, I think.
Wait, you're saying that Bill Simmons is taken from a 6 to a 7 because of his eyes?
Well, probably to an 8 or a 9, just because his eyes are so damn blue. But I mean, if you watched any given Wednesday, then you would have given it to him just about any Wednesday.
So, do you have any questions? Like, we have Tim here. Tim is a dad, is like a two-time dad. Do you have any questions? And, you know, he's like is teaching kids how to do comedy and stuff. So, like, do you have any questions for Tim about, you know, this like new thing you're doing?
Okay, yeah, Tim, what kind of drills should I get him into comedy-wise? Should we just be playing props right away or choice? I mean, what are the short form?
I think dress up is great. I think it's my Bob Odenkirk impression.
Great!
I think dress up is great. I think pretend is great. Let them explore their own creativity. Let them make up stories. You know, so
funky editing.
Yeah, should have said
no. No funky editing.
Okay.
Not political. Don't go political with them. It's too much. It's too much for them to kind of comprehend.
Who are you telling your kids to watch on Whose Line? Who are you telling them to like focus on?
Proops, which is it's an advanced
because it's evergreen.
Yeah,
it never goes out of style.
But he's a little sardonic. You know, he's a little he's a little wry in a way that most kids don't get.
Tim, but so are you.
I missed that, but
he said
do
that
not
you
need
were,
to go back.
He said that you
we don't need to go back.
Okay. Just for editing reasons, I think it would be great actually to, we don't have to go back, but it would be great for Sean to just say it again. Is that okay?
Get it clean?
Yeah. Can we just get it just really clean?
Punch it in?
Yeah.
You want three in a row real quick?
Yeah. Just do really, yes. Do really, really quick. And it gets just like three takes on it.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just give you totally different. Great. Two that you would use and one that you never would.
Have fun with one of them at least.
Yeah. One that we can't use and then two that are reasonable. Hey, not to offend you, Tim, but you could be a little bit wry and sardonic yourself. Tim, I'm not trying to offend you here, but you could be a little bit wry and sardonic yourself. And then this is the fun one.
Okay.
Rye, what are we talking about? A loaf of bread? Come on, Jack.
That one's tricky.
I think, it is tricky because it's not set up at all, but I think we can
toss it.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
That's a shoot to cut.
Are the nurses being funny at all or anyone at the hospital?
I guess they've been cracking me up. They've definitely been funnier than the funny times I spend with you.
Okay.
Is your wife getting laughing gas? Was she offered laughing gas?
Okay.
She actually married it.
My wife was given laughing gas during her induction. Okay. And it was a horrible experience.
Okay, so this happens a lot at hospitals, and I have seen this in the movies. A kind of large nurse shows up in the hospital room with kind of a white face and like strange makeup on and says, "Do you care for a little laughing gas?" And people are falling for this, and they are
oh dear,
and they are it is Joker toxin.
Wow, Joker toxin.
And so that sounds like that maybe is what happened to your wife.
Has to be one of the great superhero villains of all time.
And we Joker. Did want to do the superhero showdown, but we never really got to it. And actually, Devin said that he was going to look up how many superhero movies there were, and he never did.
Yeah, I put Joker maybe in my top five superhero villains. But you
who
guys.
Who else? Let's do it.
I gotta be Lankford. Oh, he was a good guy.
What about Lankford?
Who's Lankford?
From
Thor.
Not Thor. Lankford, evil, the spiny from not Superman. Lex Luthor. That's what I'm thinking of.
I guess Francis from Deadpool is on mine.
Right. I didn't see Deadpool. Lex Luthor, Cottonmouth,
mm-hmm.
The Rage.
Okay.
Those kind of guys.
Rich guy in Who's Harry Crumb that was really foiling Harry Crumb. But he didn't want him to be able to solve the case.
Are you having to talk softer or something? You got a little quiet.
Sorry. I was just saying that in the film Who's Harry Crumb, I remember mm-hmm. there was probably a pretty wicked guy or a lady who didn't want Harry Crumb to find the case.
Well, Sean, I'll let you get back to it, but I feel a lot better talking to you because your baby is not funny, and everything.
He's funny. He's gonna work on the material. I mean, he's gonna hone it. You've had a lot more time than him to kind of find your voice. He's got definitely a tone, a point of view, and then it's just gonna be finding the inbounds lines because obviously, the first thing he does to be defending. Well, we all are pretty certain it's a sexual predator.
Wow. Do you guys consider Dreyfuss in What About Bob a superhero villain in a sort of kind of, in a way?
If Bob is like the superhero character. And
because it's sort of the same template.
And Dreyfuss' character is trying to foil his superpower sort of.
Interesting.
Yeah. It is interesting to think about and how basically any movie could be a superhero movie.
Because there's your protagonist.
Yeah.
whoever it may be.
And Dyson Blue Jasmine is like, in a way, like the superhero of that movie. Like, if you have to say who the superhero is of that movie.
Of which movie?
Blue Jasmine.
Sure. Yeah. She is a superhero in my mind.
But no, but Dice is the hero, and right. She's kind of like his.
The hero.
Yeah.
She's,
oh, I thought you said Dyson.
Yeah, one of his friends.
Yeah. Okay, Sean.
Yeah, I should go. I guess the baby's coming in the next 30 minutes. So,
Mazel tov, and enjoy the moment.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks, and hopefully I'll see you around soon. I wish I could have been there to
take some pictures of your wife's gina.
Okay, and that.
I did. I told him that's my fault because I did tell him that the baby was being delivered vaginally. I don't know if that was okay to say.
Let me give you one piece of advice. Nobody gave me. Let me give you one piece of advice nobody gave me.
Oh boy.
There's a chance your wife will emit some fecal matter out of her ass during the delivery. That's not a joke. It's possible.
And that's advice. Okay.
Well, just be aware that that's coming. That could be coming. I don't want you to pass out.
Is it possible that the doctors were trying to protect your wife and were sit and just said that happens all the time?
I on the second birth, I put a cork up there. That's all I know.
Okay. Well, I prepped for it.
You have a cork?
Yes, I've got a rubber one that I've been reusing. I'll just take it out of mine. Because I'm shy. Okay, guys.
Bye.
Thanks so much.
It's obviously fake.
There's no baby.
How obvious is that?
It wasn't like a baby on the phone. I know that much.
Definitely
I'm not
wasn't
stupid.
A baby. That was him.
That was definitely him. Yeah. Not even a bad disguise. Not even a good disguise.
No. It is a bad disguise. And not, I didn't hear any, like, wouldn't you think there would be some
hospital
sound, like beeping?
Oh, I do a good beep.
Beep. Beep. Perfect.
Beep.
You should. Right, you could have really used you there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. None of that.
Nah.
And it didn't sound like a baby. And he said there's a shower.
There are showers in some of those nicer rooms.
A shower?
I don't know.
It's not give the baby for the baby?
It's none of my business.
But you agree that it's fake.
I agree that the baby was fake. I can't say if he's not having a baby. I don't know about that.
He's not.
Seems fake.
It's fake.
Go down to the LA County Records, whatever, downtown and see if there's a new baby born yesterday, today.
I will.
Easy to do. You know his last name?
Yeah.
They have to file it the minute he's born.
Yeah, sure. And they have everyone down there.
Everybody.
And they know everything about you.
If you're born in the county, it's
the county.
It's there. Absolutely.
Yes. And they know everything.
And it gets recorded right away.
Yeah.
So you'll find out one way or the other. Be a fun mission for you.
That's great. I love missions.
Something to fill the day.
So that's great. And I don't even need it to be fun. What time is it?
About 50 minutes. 45.
Tim.
I think
anything else you want to get out there?
No. I mean, it's all on IMDb.
Okay.
So we can all go through that if you want to quickly fire off anything or
sure.
Whatever you want to do. I do have a call at 8:15, so.
Okay.
What time is it now?
7:59.
Okay, so we have a couple minutes, but then I got to go. I got to prep for the call.
Let's look on.
I've got to prep for the call.
Your Wikipedia.
I'm not going to just jump off air and go on the call. I got
to
prep for the call.
No, and there's a little, yeah, and we have to take a picture too.
Read an email.
And the picture has to be funny. Your Wikipedia says that you're an atheist. Did you put that on there?
No.
But who else would do that?
My Wikipediaist.
Would say that you're...
That's not even a picture of me on my Wikipedia, by the way.
Who is it?
I don't know.
It's not you.
It's not me. Isn't that weird?
But who else would do that other than you?
Well, there's all kinds of creeps out there on the internet. Atheist.
Yeah, it says you're an atheist. It's the first... It's like one of the first things.
That's ridiculous. Who cares? Who knows? Where do they get this stuff from?
I don't know if you see, it's working for Ricky Gervais.
It's true. It might have been something I brought up on my podcast on religion.
Oh, yeah.
Where I describe myself as an atheist. But I wouldn't lead with that. I'd lead with comic, actor, director, producer. Mm-hmm.
It says you've acted in several films, and it goes in order. Us is already number one.
Number one, because it's the last film I made.
Yeah, but they aren't usually listed in that order.
Well, it's the biggest movie.
It's not never in reverse chronological order.
It'll be the biggest movie I'll have been in.
It's going to – okay, look. I think it's going to do great business. It's going to be Ant-Man and Wasp. Sorry. I'm sorry. I study box. I'm on.
It's true.
I'm on.
Well, I got more screen time
all day long.
I got more screen time in Us, so I don't know what you want to hold up more of more value. But you're right.
So what you do to measure your personal box office success is divide
hours,
box office receipts,
minutes
by
minutes on screen,
minutes on screen,
number of lines. That's my formula. I perfected it.
Okay. And do you get to do anything scary in that movie?
I cannot say.
You can't even say if you get to be scary in the movie.
It is better if I don't say. Let me just put it that way. It is better. You can draw your own conclusions. There's no reason for me.
Okay. Look, you don't have to say anything. Just from what you said, I know you got so scared when I asked if you get to be scary. End of the movie is. So there's these.
I'm hoping I'm in the sequel called Them.
They're all like, there's like the family that looks like them or whatever. End of the movie, they catch them and they pull off the mask. Yes.
No.
Okay. And it's you. Yes. And you just said you wouldn't say anything, but now you're denying that because it's the truth.
It was
you did it.
You can read reviews of the movie. It's all in the reviews. The reviews have been unbelievable. 100% right now. I know on HomeDepot.com.
Wow.
And, we got an exclusive deal with Home Depot. They're the only ones reviewing
the movie.
Yeah. And, you know, you can go on there and search power tools and all this stuff, and they give you ratings and stuff.
Okay.
Five stars. And this has been getting all five stars from Home Depots across the country.
Wow.
So we're excited about that. But all the reviews have been positive. But you can learn a lot about the movie by the review. But I recommend people just go see it. I told Jordy, Jordy Peele, I said, Jor, you should just, the trailer for this movie should be nothing. It should just say, this is the new movie from Jordy Peele. Mm-hmm. Go see it. It's called Us. What are we going to show you things from the movie? No,
yeah.
You're going to go see it.
That's
aren't
so
you?
Funny. I just did tell him, I'm sorry, he must have listened to me because I did tell him to do a trailer. And I said, like, it should
well,
be
Uni
like,
also
scary
wants
and
them
smart
to do a trailer. Uni wants them to do a trailer.
Yeah, well, Uni
and
wants Uni.
Vivendi's getting involved now.
Vivendi is.
Yeah,
is
they're back in play.
I know Orion is doing
Orion,
a home distro, right?
Right. Trimark. Trimark wanted to get involved, but now they can't. But they have foreign rights.
Yeah, they got edged out domestic.
Orion.
Bye.
Hollywood Handbook. That was a HeadGum Podcast.